Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Welcome, everyone, to Forever Family Foundation's radio show. As you know, probably, this is a show that is designed especially for you to tell your own personal stories and to be able to listen to those of others. Many of us, probably more than we realize, have had experiences that definitely defy mainstream thinking. And we're not always comfortable, in fact, seldom ever comfortable, telling these kinds of stories to just anyone. But here on this show, you will have listeners who have had similar experiences and are very anxious to hear your stories, too. I'm Betty Kovach, standing in for Kimberly Saavedra of the Comlux Center. She is working tonight, so she won't be with us, but we expect her back next month. So tonight, it will be Janet Mayer and myself. Janet Mayer, as I think probably many of you listening already know, is a Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present. And if you've read her book, or when you read her book, you will really have a sense of just how present they have been in her life. In fact, I'm hoping that sometime soon we'll get Janet to talk about her experience with the Yanomami, an absolutely phenomenal experience. And I am the author of Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. So let's hear your stories now, and let's think about what these stories might mean, how they relate to your individual life and our collective life, our everyday lives. Sometimes we have experiences that we just don't know what to do with. So it's good to be able to talk about them and sort of see a larger dimension of their relation to our lives. There are two numbers. We really hope you will call in. The number is 888-627-6008. And there is another number, 323-744-4831. And it looks as though, I'm looking in the chat, it looks as though the first number is the one that we are given, especially for you to use to call in. I'll repeat it one more time, 888-627-6008. So, Janet, while we're waiting for a call, I'm wondering what's on your mind tonight.
Well, hi, Betty. Good evening. I guess a number of things. And like if somebody calls in, we'll stop and we can always pick up our conversation later. I think, you know, as I always tell people, you know, when they call or anytime they're listening, to pay attention when they feel they receive a sign or something, you know, from a loved one, because usually that they've been trying to get through. You know, I kind of feel like sometimes we, you know, are so busy in life that we don't pay attention. And then as soon as we slow down and stop, that's when something kind of manifests around us, or, you know, we hear a voice or we have a dream or we have, you know, someone come up to us and say, oh, you know who I was thinking about. And, you know, you were thinking about that same person. And I think it's really important that we try to make sure we pay attention, you know, daily. You know, we always think that, you know, here's something, and I added this from your book. When I was reading your book the one day, I highlighted this and put, while the world appears to exist in a place or space, it does not. The place or space where you find yourself in this world is determined by our state of being. And I think that is so true to anything spiritual, especially with anything spiritual, is that depending on the state that we're in, state of mind, depends on how clear something comes through, how we pick it up quickly, how we, you know, see it. And I think that's really important that we have to remind ourselves to let go to allow that to come through, you know, and go on.
No, I was just going to say, you know, it's so important. We just mentioned this a little bit about Kim's job, you know, how busy she is and everybody there working. And this is the very system that we live in which our work, our play, every day, almost every moment of our lives is so scheduled. And it's almost as though, you know, we're drained of our attention so that we can't just slow down. I saw the other day that someone was going to give a lecture on living the slow life, and the advantages of that, which you've just talked about, is that if we're always busy, always focusing on something, nothing can get through.
Right. Right. And you know what? We have a caller. I wanted to go ahead and I'm going to cut in. We have a caller, Caroline from Maine on line 2.
Oh, great.
Caroline, can you hear us?
I can.
Oh, great.
Hi.
Good evening.
So I saw your email and it mentioned sharing experience. And Nick, like Betty, I lost a son. He was 14 years old and suddenly in an accident. And the strange thing is that I remember one day I was mowing the grass, and he was a saxophone player, and I spent, for me, a lot of money to get him a semi-professional saxophone. He was talented with the instrument, and I'm mowing the lawn, and all of a sudden it was as though somebody said into my ear, "What are you going to do with the saxophone?" And I, you know, let go of the lawnmower, and it, you know, you have to hold the handle to keep it going, and it shut off, and I was just shocked. It scared me, but that summer he was killed in an accident, and it was just very strange. But then, you know, there was another time when I was just doing dishes in the kitchen, and I had turned around because the sun was coming in the window, and it, you know, I had a crystal in the window, and there were rainbows on the wall, and I was just looking at them, and then the strangest thing happened from the back porch. Sort of a vapor came through into the kitchen. It was kind of swirling. I guess I'd say it was like a vortex type thing. Mm-hmm. And my dog, who was a puppy at the time, was lying in the living room, and he woke up, and he came into the kitchen, and all the hair on his back was up. You know how their hair goes up on the spine?
Yeah.
And he growled a little, and he was looking right at whatever that was, and then just as soon as it happened, it was over. But there were just so many things that happened that sort of were reassuring, and yet I really suffered and still had a lot of doubt. But that was a long time ago. Through the years, I think I've sort of come around to the idea that, okay, well, you know, death isn't the end. And it's a good thing for people in this situation. Hope is important, and the idea that of, you know, reunification, I think, is also comforting. So that's all I wanted to say, and say hello, and say I appreciate the work you've done.
Well, you know, I had one question. Was so when you were mowing the lawn and you heard it was his voice, it was like his voice asking you?
No, it was just a voice. It was just a voice. It might have been my own voice. It was just this kind of me, but another aspect of me. I don't know how to describe it. It was just this loud question. What are you going to do with the saxophone?
Yeah.
And it just really startled me.
Mm.
I don't know what to call that. Premonition? Not sure.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I would say that's a premonition. It happened before he passed. Is that correct?
Yeah, before. The summer that he passed.
Right. That definitely tells me that was, you know, a premonition of, you know, kind of giving you a heads up. And it might not have been from him. It could have been from spirit, someone that, you know, you've known who has passed on. And they might have just been giving you kind of a heads up in their own way to kind of, you know, open the door a little bit. And when you mentioned the vapor coming around you, to me, that is definitely like a field of energy, a loved one coming through. And, you know, good chance that could be your son and, you know, coming through to kind of, that's how he was manifesting, which to me is beautifully amazing, because that is not something that would happen often around people. And in that you are noticing this is really wonderful, because it shows that you are open. You're open to any of the signs from him. You're not just like saying, oh, well, this happened, that happened. You're just, you're experiencing them and you're living in them, and you're you're kind of remembering that feeling and that energy, and you're knowing it's from him. And to me, you know, I feel like that's really very loving and very, you know, beautiful in the sense that he's coming through and you're acknowledging it, and you do it in your own way, and you're not, you know, you just kind of, you're open to it and you're willing to hear, you know, receive more. And I feel like, you know, he has given you more. And in the same sense, you know, you have to continue to live life. And I loved how you said, you know, it gives you hope. And to me, it is hope, but it's also validation. And when you remind yourself that it's a validation of your son coming through, or, you know, or a loved one coming through from anyone, that validation does, you know, it propels you forward in life, and it keeps you moving and becoming more open. And I think that's what's great, too.
Yeah. And I think the fact that, you know, this voice, I didn't know that, came before, that really alerts you to the fact that there's something more to consciousness than we've been told. I mean, the fact that that would come. You know, I want to read something that kind of relates to that. I this was from the afterlife report from Victor and Wendy Zammit. I don't know exactly when, but it has to do with these two worlds. And it's coming from a former priest from the other world. He's passed over through a medium. And this is what he says. It was never intended that these two worlds, ours and yours, should be as they are now, so far apart and far in contact. That was never intended. The day will assuredly come when our two worlds will be closely interrelated, when communication between the two will be a commonplace of life, and then the great wealth of resources of the spirit world will be open to the earth world to draw upon for the benefit of the whole human race. And I think, you know, with experiences like what you're saying, Carolyn, and the ones others who call in, we are rebuilding that bridge. You know, and it's so painful to be without the bridge. And it's so
it important. Is.
I know it did. Yeah. We can't live without that bridge.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many people will say, when you're dead, you're dead. And they're so sure of it. And I always think, well, you know, there's really no way to 100% know. But why would you go with such a sad, very unhappy choice,
right?
Well, that's what, you know, that's what we were taught was science. We've no meaning, no purpose. We're a fluke of nature, and when you're dead, you're dead. And that's 19th century science. And people are, we have all been brainwashed with that. And it's still so alive in many people. And it is the most deadly worldview that could ever have existed. And actually, you know, with quantum physics, we know other dimensions exist. And with all of the near-death experiences and all other kinds of experiences, we can be pretty certain that there is another dimension. It's just too much information has been coming through for us to deny that other world.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yes, I agree. And I really appreciate the opportunity to hear you talking about it. So I will say goodbye and hope to hear somebody else. I'm sure there are a lot of stories out there.
Yes.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Caroline. Thank
you,
and take care.
You know, Betty, Caroline, she made a good comment. And when somebody says something and they just kind of push it away. And, you know, one thing I've always shared with people is that when you haven't had the experience, you know, you don't sometimes get it. And I understand that if somebody hasn't had an experience where a loved one has come through and given them a sign or whatever it may be, that sometimes people, you know, they don't get it. And then when it does happen for them, they totally get it. And so I try to look at that side, but I also think that we need to let go of judgment and grief. You know, we have to not judge people when they have something or they have an experience. If more people would listen and open up, you know, to hearing what's going on, you know, it would just, you know, kind of echo through and everybody would start getting, you know, understanding. And I think that that's a really big part. I think that, you know what I mean?
I do. I think so. But I think what happened with this worldview that, that of course was scientific worldview, and of course, as I've said many times on this show, that the science was censored by the church, so it could only study the physical world. And that's how we ended up with the physical worldview, that there's nothing but matter. And now quantum physics knows that is not true, but a lot of people don't know it yet. But I think what happens when there's a worldview and we're told it's scientific, follow the science, that we become brainwashed. And brainwashed means that it's hard to open up. You know, it's when people say, well, when you're dead, you're dead. It's a kind of effort on their part to accept that meaningless, empty world that they've been brainwashed to believe in, that we all were. But it also closes the mind, you know. It's just... Right. It's like politically, you know, especially today, there just is whatever one's belief is about what's going on. It's so dogmatic that they can't hear other sides, you know. It's that kind. And so I think that's what we've been with the worldview, is that this is what it is and it's science. And if you don't believe it, you're not intelligent. And when I first began and teaching in college and all the way through, it was that if you didn't believe that, if you didn't know that, then you were not intelligent and didn't belong there. Of course, right. I didn't know at that time. I hoped there was something else. But at that time, I didn't know. I didn't know until, as you say, Janet, I experienced it. And then I knew. But I was open. I was always looking for it. But I just didn't know. But you're absolutely right. We have to experience it. And then we know it. That's gnosis. It's knowing it. We don't need any other left brain proof of it. Our experience of it is the evidence, is the proof.
Right. And you know, the thing is, too, is, you know, I always say that grief really, it transcends you into a new place, into a new space. And, you know, it's not a place you wanted to ever go, but it's also a place we all know something's going to happen along the line. And if we let go of everything we've held onto with those beliefs, those boundaries of what we were taught, of what we believed, I mean, I wasn't raised immediately to believe, you know, what's going on in my life. I had to experience it time after time again. And believe me, it took me many times to say, okay, I know this happened. I know this happened. Then, you know, I started writing it down, which I always tell people all the time. If you start, you know, getting information from a loved one, start writing it down, you know, date it, time it, you know, see, or, you know, just it's validation to look at later and say, no, I really did get this. Like, this really happened. This really existed. And yeah, I think that, you know, when you do that, it opens up a whole new world. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of times it happens through grief, but it's there. And whether people want to say, well, you know, there may be something out there, there may not. Well, obviously there's something out there because there's a lot happening around us all the time. And if we only pay attention and stay open, then we can experience, you know, our loved ones coming through in different ways. And every way that it comes through to anyone. You know, some people are like, well, my story is not as good as so-and-so's story. And it's like, no, your story is just as good as so-and-so because it was your experience. You had it. They had one. They're different, but they're both beautiful. And it's a connection. You know, it's a connection to everybody who's listening. We all get to experience this together. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's what's beautiful.
Yes. And I think the more open we are and allow these experiences to happen, we are changing the field, the biofield that we live in, because our thoughts and feelings are actually, they solidify into matter, into the physical world. That's what the physical world out there is. We are actually manifesting it with our thoughts. There was, this is from an Eastern yogi, he says, as water by cooling and condensation becomes ice, so thought by condensation assumes physical form. Everything in the universe is thought in material form.
Mm.
And that's kind of a knockout, isn't it?
It is. It's pretty deep.
It's from actually Paramahansa Yogananda. I think we don't realize how much we influence the field. We don't want to accept that right away because that's right. So different from our thinking. But if we really kind of let ourselves just play with it and think, well, what if my thoughts are influencing what's out there a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that because as they say, we are an aggregate. Our body ourselves is an aggregate of that biofield, and the field influences us just as we, our thoughts and feelings, influence it. So it's very important that we are open and have thoughts and feelings that we want reflected or mirrored back to us.
Right. Right. And this is going to just sound kind of simple in a way, but it happens through love. You know, when we're experiencing everything like this, you know, it's because we're opening up through love, and it's that vibration, and that vibration is keeping it moving and keeping it flowing. And that keeps the connection as well. And yep. Before we go on, let me give the number out again. It's 888-627-6008. So I just want to share that again. But yeah, so I mean, you know, and you do feel like that. It's like when anybody comes through, you know, they're coming through love, which is a vibration. And it's, you know, it comes down to that vibration, to a feeling. And then it, you know, it comes through us in thousands of ways. It comes through us in so many ways for everybody. You know, everyone's different. And it's so powerful. And I think that, you know, when anybody has any kind of experience, I want them to remember that that is a huge gift. That's a huge blessing. And to hold on to it, no matter what anybody says to you, you know, and says, oh, well, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Whenever I hear something like that, it kind of goes right through me. And I think, you know what, why don't instead you be open to the idea of, hey, they had something happen, an amazing experience. I hope I can have that. You know, and I think that that would go a long way too.
Oh, it sure would. And, you know, the more I read about what our ancestors were able to experience, the Essenes, for example, or even in the probably a civilization that existed before Sumer, the ones that we know, there's so much evidence for that now. But when you hear of these traditions that still exist and existed very early on, that is just absolutely mind-blowing what the human being is capable of. And we have been taught that we're flawed, that we're just a fluke and, you know, not worthy and not really capable. We are capable of multidimensional thinking and being, but that has been robbed from us, stolen from us. And if we can just get into a place where we can allow ourselves to know what others like us have done, and that we can do that too, we will change the world.
Right. That's true. That's true, Betty. And I think maybe, you know, we're all trying to do it a little bit at a time.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like it's such a little bit, but it's whatever it is, it's important. You know, for some people, I can remember sitting around listening to grown-ups talk when I was a little kid. And, you know, it was just the smallest mystery that would keep them so fascinated and open, you know, to other possibilities. And I think it was hearing those stories that kind of kept me open too.
Yes. I think I obviously, because, you know, look where you ended up, look where you landed, and how much knowledge you have. So right there, that's the truth.
You know, yeah. We have, since no one is calling,
we do have a caller.
That's great. I was just going to ask you something. Okay, great.
Okay. We have Nancy from Florida on line two. Would you like to share an experience, Nancy? How are you?
Hi. Yes. Thank you. I would like to share an experience. Do you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. My son, Johnny, passed away this past August.
That's so soon. That's so recent.
Yeah. And I have five sons. And anyway, he was living in Colorado. And I'll just get to the point. He drowned in a lake, in Lake Dillon. And it was the very beginning, I think it was like very beginning, first week in August. And so I feel like I really did feel him come through right away and could feel him. And we all dreamt about him. And it was like he was so real, right? Mm-hmm. So the following week, well, actually a few days later, we went to all of his brothers and their wives, and we all collected and wanted to do a ceremony at Lake Dillon. And before the ceremony, I would just walk around that area, and mm-hmm. I just kept calling his name, and it's so beautiful there. Mm-hmm. And I just sat at where they had found him, and mm-hmm. I just prayed and prayed, and I said, Johnny, please give me a sign. Please give me a sign that you're okay. And, you know, a few minutes later, I just opened my eyes, and there was a gentleman paddleboarding right in front of me on Lake Dillon. And I was just mm-hmm. watching him because he was with a dog. And I was just watching him, and I thought, wow, that really looks like Johnny. It looked just like him. He wore mm-hmm. black jeans. He had black boots on a paddleboard, which sounds so like Johnny.
Yeah.
No shirt, a baseball cap, and glasses. And he was thin. I mean, I had to do a double take because it looked just like him. So I just kept watching him.
What an interesting.
Yeah. And I couldn't take my eyes off him. And so he was actually paddleboarding toward me, and his dog was swimming beside the paddleboard, and they landed right where I was, and the dog came up and was running around me, and the fellow said, hey, how are you? And I said, hi. You know, I said I was nervous. The dog ran a long way, and he said, yeah, he's strong. He can do that. And he laughed just like Johnny. And so I said to him, do you paddleboard around here often? And he said, yes. Actually, I do every day. So I said, did you hear about the drowning that happened last week? And he got very interested, and he said, no, tell me what happened. And so, you know, he was sitting on his paddleboard by the water, and I was sitting, you know, on a bench right near him. And I said, well, actually, it was my son. And he was camping out here, and I was just wondering if he saw anything. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry. And he said, you know, I just lost my son 6 months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that, it floored me. And he was sharing with me about his son and how he was addicted to, what is that? That drug, that fentanyl. And Johnny, my son Johnny, was an alcoholic. And I've been struggling with his disease constantly for the past 2 years. And it was interesting that he just came and he's sharing his story about his son on fentanyl. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, who is this? You know, that someone just sent this angel to me, right? Mm-hmm. Sharing with me about his struggles with his son, which I totally understood and I can identify with. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know what? You don't have to worry anymore. And he kept saying that to me over and over again, because all I did was worry about Johnny.
Yeah, right.
All I did was worry about Johnny, and I know that, and it was weird that he looked just like him. And there were other signs that were also just very obvious to me that, you know, we don't have all night here. But I just wanted to share this with you because the message that Johnny was trying to send me was, Mom, you don't have to worry about me anymore.
I know. Oh, that's heartbreaking.
You don't have to worry about me anymore.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This was a very different kind of gift, isn't it, that you were expecting? How incredibly important, though, that was, all of it.
It was so important. And for him to look just like Johnny, and he was an artist, which Johnny was an artist.
Mm.
And so he, you know, we shared for about 45 minutes, actually. Wow. And I was very grateful that we had this conversation, and it made me feel so much better because I felt like he was sent to me, right? He was sent to me from Johnny.
Absolutely. And it's so beautiful. Yeah, Mother, you don't have to worry about me anymore. That is so heart-wrenching.
Yes, and what an intense experience, but it offered you so much and kind of gave you peace, I think, at the same time, you know?
I think of this conversation constantly, and, you know, I went back there the next day, and I went back, that day was in the afternoon, I went back the next day, and it was in the morning, and it was the morning that we were all family, we were going to have ceremony, but I just went back to the lake just to sit and pray and meditate, and I was sitting there not 5 minutes, and the gentleman came up again with his dog. They just rode right up, and I was like, I mean, isn't that weird that he was right there again? And he just came by, and he said, so, how you doing? You know? And it was, you know, so heartfelt. And we shared for a little while longer, and he repeated, you know, he kept sharing stories like, you know, I just try to help my son over and over, and he just didn't want it. And it was the same story as Johnny. And I said to him, you know, one of the things, last time I saw him, I was upset with him because he didn't do what I wanted, and what I wanted was for him to get sober. And so when he got out of the car, I didn't give him a hug, and I regret that. And so he said, well, I can give you a hug.
Oh, wow.
And he got up, and he hugged me, and it felt just like Johnny. And so he looked at me in my eyes, and I was like, oh, my God, thank you.
You know, I'm so impressed
and
with
when
this.
He walked, and when he walked away to go back to the paddleboard, and he rode away, he had a big Thunderbird tattoo on his back, and Johnny had a Thunderbird tattoo on his arm.
Oh, wow. Well, he was definitely sent to you.
Yeah, I'm just thinking how if you had seen some sign, it wouldn't have been, this is exactly what you needed. I mean, the channel that he chose, I mean, it was exactly what you needed. You know?
Of course, it was. Well, and you know, it brought me so much peace.
Mm-hmm. And you've received a number of signs through him. And I think you actually found it like you helped each other too. You know, you helped him, and whether he knew it or not, he needed you. And, you know, Johnny came through, you know, for you through him. And he was just like, hey, you know, and he might've known about that guy, or maybe he didn't, or maybe he was like, how can I make this happen for you? And then it happened that way, which is what's beautiful. It's because we never know where life's going to take us or how it's going to happen. And with that, I think your son gave you numerous signs through him, but also gave you comfort. Yeah. And I think you did that for him too, for this man, you know, which is really beautiful that it worked both ways for both of you.
Oh, yeah. Very, very moving.
I'm glad. Thank you for sharing your story. It's heart-wrenching, but it's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
You know, to show, it shows that our loved ones are around us, and they will try to make whatever they can work to make it happen, you know?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent example of that, that they would find whatever channel is available. And this was a very fulfilling a way of communicating to you what he needed to communicate.
Yeah, you know, I'm very spiritual, and I know that he likes to play jokes too, you know, but I knew that this was like so Johnny to come through just like that. And so since he's passed, you know, I've been just listening and reading so much on near-death experiences and signs and channeling. And so since, you know, just recently, I've just really been able to tap into him, hear him. I've been talking with him. And I know that I just have to get out of the way and just listen. And I, you know, he'll come through, and all of a sudden his picture will show up on one of my, you know, picture frames or whatever, because he always wants to say good morning to me. And it's just comforting, you know. It's been really helpful to me to understand that life doesn't end when you die. They're still right here.
Yeah.
And so I'm a big believer, and I'm just really, he's helping me learn so much about all of this too.
Thank you so much for telling us that story. I think it has to be so valuable to so many people who are listening. So thank you so much.
Yes. Yes. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Okay. And then I'm not sure if she's still there. I'm sorry.
Here, but I was just,
Are you?
We might have lost her.
No.
Well, we do have another caller. If there's Melanie from Nevada, are you on?
I'm here. Hi. I'm glad to be back. I've called a few times.
Welcome back, Melanie.
Thanks. I just want to appreciate that the previous caller. I mean, I'm grateful she shared her story, and I'm also grateful not to be in that early stage. So I guess the story I'm going to share is, you know, 4 years now down the line, I just celebrated getting through 4 years of my daughter's crossing, and it gets easier. So I just want to say that. But what I want to talk a little bit about is kind of going back, I guess, previously to what you all were saying in terms of, like, the communication is there. And I know the worlds are, like, you know, there isn't a veil. There is, like, we're all just doing whatever we're doing, but I feel so inept sometimes. And my daughter communicates with me very well, and I feel like sometimes I miss things in translation, but I want to just tell this little story about the quarters. My daughter's been giving me coins since she died, and I just cashed in about $155 from this last year. But her papere, her grandpa on her dad's side, crossed back in July. And we weren't close with them, but I asked her, I said, honey, if papere made it over, if he's connected with him, can you please give me a quarter by the end of the day? And the day was going on, and it was about 5:30 at night, and I go to Home Depot, and I get the quarter. And I'm like, well, thank you for letting me know this. And I was 100% sure that she validated that. So fast forward to November, my father was very ill, and that's a whole other story in itself. But I knew he wasn't doing well, but there was a lot of denial on the part of my mom and my sisters about him and his condition. So I finally told the universe, I said, Dad wants to die. If you need me to be there for that, I will do it. And sure enough, I know this may sound silly, but I was I was gifted with being there as he crossed and being the one to feed him his last meal and to kiss him on the forehead and sing songs to him. But we were going into the night, and he was getting worse in terms of his breathing. He was 93, so we were grateful for all that time. But it was the next day, and I can't even go into the epic battle that I had with trying to get family members to realize that Dad just needed to lie there in bed and not get up and, you know, go eat at the table. And it was an epic battle. So I was exhausted, but it was the next morning, and I ended up having to work with hospice to get him some morphine, which I did. And then the nurse came, and we did some medical procedures, and Dad was resting comfortably. And I told my sister-in-law, I said, I just need to go for a walk. So we went for a walk, and we were going around the block of my parents' home. Exactly on the house opposite of theirs, in the driveway, there's a quarter. And I picked it up, and I said, Quincy, Grandpa didn't die yet. But later on, he crossed a few hours later. But what I think was, is she was telling me, no, he's here now because he went into a coma. And so she gave me that quarter. But, you know, these are the things that I'm sure of, but then I'm like, wow, this is just astounding, you know, how the communication is. But it still takes my breath away, I guess, sometimes.
Right. Well, sure. And the thing is, what I think is so wonderful about the story is that you've been paying attention all along. You have been acknowledging your daughter. You've been talking to her. You have that open communication. And she knows that when she leaves you something, you're going to get it. And she was letting you know that, yes, he's already, you know, like you said, he was in the coma. He already crossed. And she was letting you know that he's there, or she was with him, or she saw it, or whatever it may be. And I mean, you can't ask for something, you know, it's beautiful in a sense that you can't ask for something more when they're giving you an answer. They're giving you something. They're sharing life from the other side with you here. And I think that's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. You know?
But then
it is.
Okay. But there's one more little piece to this then, because my friend, a dear friend of mine, she got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and she had, back in late fall, she had about 5 to 6 months to live. So we decided that white feathers are going to be our sign. But then I'm out walking, and in a labyrinth that was put in the desert, so it's in the middle of the desert, and in the middle of this labyrinth is a quarter. And I'm like, okay, honey, is this like, is Stephanie dead? Or is this just like a quarter, a hello? Or is it a quarter is just a quarter? But I turn around to walk out, and I find two white feathers. So I immediately text my friend, and I said in my head, I don't know if it was me or if it was my kid, but I'm like, if this is an indication that she's crossing, give me a $20 bill. And then what popped in, and a second one, because I think it's Rebecca, another medium, she always says, well, when I tell my father, you know, if I get a quarter or a nickel, it's like, you give me another one to make sure it's you. So whatever, that thought was in my head. So I'm like, okay. So I texted my friend. I'm walking home. I stop at the store, walking up the street. I swear, it was $2.20, and there was a $20 bill in the street. And I text my friend, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm in the middle of the sidewalk texting this to her. I walk up the street. Literally two minutes later is another $20 bill. I kid you not. Now, so this is where I'm like, honey, what's going on here? And maybe it's like the lady with her son who crossed and the saxophone. Maybe it's maybe my daughter sees what's going on, but my friend is still, you know, she's still hanging on. But how do you deny that? I mean, that was another one that literally two $20 bills in the span of a, you know, a half a block. It was like unbelievable. But so I'm a little baffled because I can't figure it out. But that's what I'm saying. It's just astounding.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean, that's a lot of money coming your way. I mean, they're really wanting you to take note, you know? I mean, I think that, and I don't mean to be laughing, but it just is kind of funny that the fact that it's like they keep leaving you more and more money. It's like, okay, what are they trying to tell me? Well, I think that, you know, you're being aware of what's going on. And you know, I think there's a lightheartedness to you as well. And I think that maybe that also kind of keeps you open and allows you to, you know, have more experiences. You know how you can kind of keep having them and having them, and maybe they're trying to tell you something more. Keep that in mind too, that maybe there's something even more for you that you're supposed to be paying attention to, that it's kind of like, okay, well, what do I have to do? I have to keep giving you more, you know, here, I'm going to drop another one. I'm going to, you know, send you another 20. And maybe it's about something you're supposed to be doing, connecting more, you know, with maybe, you know, there's something else going on. So stay open to that too, because I feel like there's something else happening here. And I mean, I think it's a good thing. It's not like it's, you know, anything to worry about. I think it's something that, you know, just keep staying open to what's going on around you. Okay.
Yeah, I will. I just thought in my head that it was tied to my friend's crossing. You know what I mean? And she's, you know, still here now, but you're right.
Right.
It might just be completely different, even though, like, maybe that's just my humanness, right? Which I am right now. But yeah, I will keep open. I was just literally though, I mean, because that's a big deal. That was a big deal to me.
Yeah, so. It's a big deal. That is a big deal. And to be sure, yeah, just say thank you. Allow more to come your way.
That's all I wanted to share. But you know, it is like the you know, all, both of the other callers said, and you all know, it is refreshing. Even you know, as you continue to move forward, I don't. And this was on a different show. I don't think the Romans show, I don't think they stop talking to us, but sometimes maybe we just move on. But I've been fortunate to be able to intertwine it because my whole family, too, is kind of on the same place with it. Not, oh, you're an idiot, yeah. You know, and I know some people face that. So anyway, and there might be another caller, so I want to get off. But I just thought I'd share that. And, you know, it's kind of fun and funny, but also, like, baffling when you can't put the pieces together. So
right.
That's it.
Right. Well, thank you for calling, Melanie. You take care.
Bye.
And we do have another caller, and it is Kristen from San Diego. Kristen, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Would you like to share an experience?
Yeah, I've had a few with people that have passed, but this one was the most unusual. My friend was very sick with cystic fibrosis. She was in the hospital dying, and I'd gone down with a bunch of her very close friends to visit with her. And her mom was in with all the doctors, and when she came out, she told me that she wanted to see me. And even though she and I were extremely close, the other girls had known her far longer, so I was surprised and a little bit sheepish walking past all of them because there's only so many visitors that they let in. And when I got in there, she called me over, and she had one of those monitors on the tip of her finger that has a little red light. And mm-hmm. She pointed to my forehead, and she said around the tube, because she was intubated at the time, "I'll be right here." And I laughed.
Could you repeat that part, Kristen? The light,
sure.
She
reached out with her finger and touched the middle of my forehead.
Okay.
And she said, "Around the tube, I'll be right here." And I laughed, thinking, okay, I'll try to make light of this. And so I said, oh, I get it, like ET, because the monitor at the end of her finger was lit up red. And she got really mad. She's never been mad at me. And she shook her head no, and she called me super close to her. And now I was like inches away from her, and she repeated the process. And at that point, I just was like dumbfounded. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. But I said, okay. And her monitors were accelerating. She was getting really upset. So I said, I love you, but they're going to kick me out. You've got to calm down. And then we visited for a minute longer, and I left. A few weeks later, I'm at home in bed. I wake up in the middle of the night. I go to the bathroom. I'm thinking about her, and I say a little prayer, like, please, you know, let Leslie get better. Then when I lay down, and by the way, this was in 2011, far before I'd ever read any of Laura Lynn Jackson's books, but in her book, she talks about a cord of white light. And that was exactly what my experience was that night. It was like I laid in my bed, and all of a sudden I got very light, almost like a floaty feeling. And I just remembered feeling like I was connected to my friend Leslie through this cord of light. And instead of saying, I wish you would get better, it was like my soul spoke different words. And I said, it's time for you to go. You've suffered enough. Let go. Get out of your body. And then it's like all of a sudden the cord snapped and I felt heavy again. Mm. And I'm like, that was so weird. So I go to bed. I wake up in the morning. My husband calls me and tells me she died.
Mm.
And I said, when did she die? Because I knew what time it was when that experience happened. And I felt like if she passed before it, then it wasn't meaningful. If she passed after, then it really was. And he got upset that I would ask that question, understandably. And I said, I go, it's okay. I'll find out later. I hung up the phone and I immediately texted her husband, who's also a dear friend of mine. Said, I know this is going to sound incredibly insensitive, but I need to know exactly what time she passed. And it was like 2 hours after I had told her to let go.
Yeah, wow. Well.
So then nothing happens. I'm very upset. She was a very dear part of our family. I had a really rough week. I was crying this one night thinking about her. And I rolled over in my bed, and hovering in the room is a gorgeous purple light. Mm. And it is just electric. And I'm like, I was kind of dumbfounded. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? I blinked my eyes multiple times to just, you know, check and see if I was seeing it. Like if it was just something in my eye, like I was just trying to problem solve and it wouldn't go away. And then it was started to move and it almost had these light tentacles, is what I would call them. And one kind of reached toward me and it literally shocked me in my forehead right where she said she was going to do that. But it didn't hurt. It wasn't like an electrical shock. It almost like energized me. I felt energized. I felt good about it. And I remembered saying out loud to her, oh my God, is that what you look like now? And then I tried to reach out and touch her and it went away.
Mm.
And that was it. But then for months and months and months, the electricity in my house was going ballistic. Televisions blaring in the middle of the night. My son's light was coming on and off every single night. And the only way it stopped is I finally said to her, Leslie, I know that's you. I love you, but you've got to stop turning on the light in the middle of the night. Like, the boys need to sleep. And as soon as I said that, the light stopped going off.
Wow.
It was just like nonstop things, nonstop, just crazy, crazy experience. And I really feel like that experience opened me up to more things that I'm continuing to explore, you know. I'd actually called into the show for the first time a couple of weeks ago and spoke with Laura Wooster on the air and asked her about this feeling that I had about lifting, because it was just something I was exploring neurologically, thinking it was a neurological problem. And she really made me feel good about it because it was the same feeling that she had felt when she kind of was opening up to mediumship. So she suggested I take a class to try to, you know, expand it. And so that's what I've decided to do with Joel Scheel. So Joseph Scheel. So I'm excited to try to explore it and see if I can open it more.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I think that, you know, you had some beautiful experiences and with the purple light, I think the vibration, and you know, you were open enough for her to come through and send you her energy and her vibration. And you understood it, which is really beautiful. And, you know, having the kind of the premonition before she passed. And I'm going to say this, too, even if you would have had it afterwards, it would have been just as meaningful in a different way. You know, you had it beforehand and you were, you know, you knew that she was, you know, probably already starting to cross, that you were like, you know, you can let go, you can go. And I think that, you know, that was really not only meaningful, but it kind of gave you that, I don't know how, you just kind of let go, I think, with it, or she let go with it. And I think that that was really important to understand that and to know that you had a connection with her and that you probably still do, and that she's coming through. And with the purple, I love that, because that was her vibration. That was the way she wanted to come through to you. and to give that to you, you know, the energy on your forehead and the vibration, you know, I totally get that. I know, you know, when you, it is a different feeling. It's very electric, but not painful. It's just, it's unique in its own sense. And I think that's wonderful that you were paying attention and received all that. Absolutely. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And the other really crazy thing, and I'll close with this on my end, is that her mother had written a book about her, and she came early on with the manuscript to have me look it over. And I decided at that point, it had been almost a year since she had passed, to tell her about the story. And mm-hmm. when I got to the part about the light, she grabbed my arm and she goes, "What color was the light?" And up to that point, I really hadn't talked about the color because I didn't, in my mind, think it was important. So I was a little dumbfounded. I remembered thinking, why is she asking me that? And I looked at her and I said, it was purple. It was the most amazing purple I've ever seen in my entire life. And she literally collapsed. And I grabbed her and I go, "I'm so sorry. I should never have said anything. I didn't mean to upset you." And she looks at me and she goes, "Do you know that I could see auras?" And at the time I was like, "No." And she said, "Leslie's aura was purple." And it was just such a full circle moment.
That is amazing.
That is cool. Unfortunately, Kristen, we have to go. We only have a minute left.
Of course,
so
yes.
We have to leave. Thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Betty, I'm going to go ahead and leave us with our Mahayana prayer.
Good.
May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey. And thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Betty. Good night, everyone.